With you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first married a woman, but died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and likewise all the seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now, at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are the children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive." Some of the scribes said in reply, "Teacher, you have answered well." And they no longer dared to ask him anything. The Gospel of the Lord.
I know I've mentioned this to you, all of you, before, but usually during the school mass, we have a tendency to ask the students questions, especially about things in the gospel that wouldn't be like very evident or easy for them to understand just on first reading or just hearing the gospel. And so one of the things that I mentioned, it actually took me a second to connect why this was the response, but I know I've mentioned it to you all before. But when we had the Sadducees, I was asking, does anybody know what a Pharisee is? Does anybody know what a Sadducee is? And also, did anybody know what the word woe meant? Because, you know, it was the particularly short reading where it said, you know, woe to you Pharisees, woe to you Sadducees, woe to you scholars of the law. And so I was asking all of those particular questions. And so I gave that example, you know, as in like, woe. I said, woe to the student that punches their neighbor during Mass, for they shall get in trouble with their teacher and Father Peter after the Mass, or something like that. I was like, it is a warning. Like, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're in trouble, basically. And so, but then when I asked what a Sadducee was, one of the boys said, well, my first thought is a horse. And I was thinking, why did he say horse? And it was the woe. It was like, whoa, you know, I was like, oh. And so it took me even a second, but it goes to show us that what we read and what we've heard for many, many, many years, it's so unbelievably important that we continue to explain these things to, especially to the young, because we hear these things. I was talking about this with one of our catechists. You know, we hear the word hallow, and the closest thing that a child might know to hallow is like Halloween, right? But we know hallowed means holy. And so we want to describe these things because sometimes they're saying the wrong thing or thinking it's something else. So that goes a million miles if we describe these things to our young ones especially. And sometimes we need the description ourselves. But one of the important things that he says here that Jesus is talking about is that there was that very important distinction between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees are really, like, they're following every little aspect of the law. And of course, St. Paul is famously self-proclaimed one of the best Sadducees that there ever was, right? But then the Sadducees don't believe in, like, spiritual beings, like angels, and they don't believe in the resurrection either. And so he's making a very important distinction and telling them that they're wrong because that there is a resurrection. And then the other hugely important distinction he makes there is the giant difference between our earthly reality and a heavenly reality. One of the things we do during marriage prep is that you have to fill out a freedom to marry form. I know that Deacon Chuck has had to do probably thousands of these with couples before. But in these Freedom to Marry forums, you're asking questions so that the prospective couple understands what marriage actually is. You know, do you believe that marriage is for the benefit, a mutual benefit of the spouse and for the procreation and nurturing of children? You know, that is one of the questions that you have to say, yes, that is what I believe that marriage is for. And so, but when you have the Lord Jesus Christ, when everything is finally fulfilled in the beatific vision and being face to face with Jesus in heaven, there is no longer a need for this mutual benefit of one another or procreation anymore, because we have reached fulfillment. So there's no more need to populate the earth at all, because that's done on the earth, but it's all fulfilled in heaven. And because everything is completely fulfilled in heaven, there's no need for procreation anymore in that final fulfillment. And so he's telling us that our final fulfillment in heaven is completely different than these realities on earth that we still have here, and that we actually have to orient ourselves towards this belief in a resurrection where things are different up there than they are down here. And so the more we can spend our time actually pondering those realities, the more we're actually aligned towards it. And I've been really, really, in many ways, just I guess to say pleasantly surprised that in all the people that we're with near the end of their life, in their death, that reliably, absolutely reliably, those that have pondered these mysteries and kept the church close, gone to Mass, prayed the rosary, and always been close to the church, have an immense amount of peace in their last time here on earth. And that's the way that it should be. Because if we understand this, that we are the most alive, you know, he says we're like angels. Again, we are not angels, but he said we will be like them in that we will have a spiritual reality that's in the presence of God. You know, so that's what makes us like angels, because angels are in the presence of God. But we'll be in the presence of God, and we won't want for any of these things that we wanted here down on earth. If we think more about that, then as we near closer to our life, we're usually not fearful of death, but maybe a little bit anxious, but actually excited and prepared, because we know the reality that we're actually waiting for, to be resurrected and to be more alive than we ever were on this earth. And if we could ponder that, then there's no fear of death in this world. God bless you all.